Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Station. Hey, can't find nothing on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I don't like dentists. I don't like doctors. I don't like auto repairs. I don't like taking care of my house. I don't like paying bills. I don't like buying tires. I don't like taking my dog to the vet, mowing my lawn, and I don't like paying insurance and taxes. Other than that, being a grown-up's fantastic.
Oh, my Bob!
Jeff Lutz.
I just don't care. That's what it is.
That pose is out too, Sonny Jim. The new thing is to care passionately and be right-wing.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting Max Power, producing engineering, and 869-1240 is our number. You can reach us on the IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. We've got a big show planned for you today, much nicer weather day out there. What's up in your world?
Not a whole lot.
Watched the Shockers last night?
I did, in fact.
It looked like they might lose that game to Monmouth.
I thought they would lose, but Monmouth was bad and couldn't make any free throws.
They made a free throw. Well, you can say the same thing about the Shockers.
They made theirs down the stretch. They missed them early. Monmouth missed them all night. They just kept missing. And when they had chances in the second half to break it open a little bit, they failed spectacularly.
The surprise of the evening for me was to see former Shocker assistant Rick Callahan on the bench for Monmouth. He's been with King Rice for a long time, coached with Eddie Fogler here at Wichita. It's a long time ago, my friend.
And it was a long time ago. It made me look up Eddie Fogler, and he's 76 years old. It's kind of weird to think about. But
I first met Eddie Fogler at Winfield, Kansas. Want to know how?
He was scouting somebody.
He was there on an evening when I was covering a game, and I actually took my dad to see Wichita Heights play at Winfield, believe it or not.
That's a game you don't see very often anymore.
And Darnell Valentine was being recruited by everybody in the world, and Eddie Fogler was there representing Dean Smith in North Carolina. And I just got to meet him that night, and lo and behold, a few years later, he becomes the head men's coach at Wichita State. Rick Callahan, one of his assistant coaches. So I gained a little more interest in that game last night.
What was Rick Callahan's claim to fame here in Wichita? Just that he was Eddie Fogler's assistant? Did he recruit anybody?
You're asking me to go way back.
I understand that, but if there...
He was a prominent guy on Eddie Fogler's staff. I mean, he was the right-hand guy. So, yeah, he was a big deal.
Sounds like it.
And a good
went
guy.
Went on with him to South Carolina and Vanderbilt. Not in that order, but I think that's where Eddie Fogler coached, right?
Yeah, good old Eddie Fogler. Had some good teams here.
Very good.
Is this a good team?
Hard to say. They were not last night.
I think they are. They miss Quincy Ballard. The backup guy's pretty good offensively, but he's not very good defensively. And Quincy Ballard is
but it's not like they were getting a bunch of shots at the rim.
They were getting a bunch of shots.
Monmouth? They were making jump shots mostly.
They were taking it to the basket.
I thought they made a lot of threes and jump shots.
Well, I think you're absolutely...
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I think you couldn't be more wrong.
It seemed like when they were playing their best, they were making perimeter shots.
Well, they made some perimeter shots.
I don't remember, and maybe I just missed it. I don't remember them getting the ball inside a whole lot and getting to work. But that's just how I remember.
Well, you didn't watch the game that closely.
Apparently not.
I mean, that's all there is to that. I mean, that's an obvious one. Now you're going to force me to look it up.
But they couldn't really dribble. They're not good ball handlers. Wichita State was pretty decent defensively, I thought. Just couldn't make any shots. And there you have it. Monmouth.
Well, there's got to be more to it than that. I mean, that's such a shallow explanation of the game.
There's not. What do you want from me?
People are waiting for me to give them the insight.
Bizarre that Monmouth led for most of that game because they couldn't really do anything outside of hit a shot every now and then.
They played hard.
It just
and
didn't
they,
have any skilled
and Wichita
players.
State didn't play very well, and that's a lethal combination.
I suppose we need to get fans back in Charles Koch Arena.
Well, we've got Kevin Saul today, and you know, if I were still the columnist, I hearken back to those days. Because I'm always looking for column ideas, and the one thing I'd write, this home schedule was not meant to improve business.
I get
and
it.
They need to improve business.
But remember when just going to a Wichita State game was the thing?
Yeah, but that
doesn't matter if you play Monmouth or whoever.
Those days are...
It doesn't matter if KU plays Monmouth.
It's KU.
Right, and that's the thing to do in Lawrence, and at one point, in the not-too-distant past, going to a Wichita State game was the thing to do.
By the way, Monmouth shot 58 shots last night, and only 17 of them were three-point attempts.
Just kind of a lot. It's more than
And one guy took nine of those, Bashir.
So what were they on two-pointers?
They were 21 of... 41, over 50%.
Yeah, you should be over 50%.
That's because they took the ball to the rim.
I didn't see that, but
well,
maybe you're right.
But I don't care if you saw it.
You know how not very
That's
good.
That's what they did.
But you know how not very good under 50% in two-pointers is? Not very. That's bad. You should be shooting like 60% on two-pointers. You should be getting easier shots.
Well,
21 out of 41 in two-pointers
is
plain
ridiculous.
Is not very good.
That's just utterly ridiculous. Shockers were 22 of 39 from two-point
It's a lot better.
It's okay. It's a little better.
It's quite a bit better.
Not really.
It's well over 50%.
Well, so was Monmouth.
21 of 41, barely.
22 of 39. It's almost
That's
the same.
56%.
Almost the same. Wichita State, only 2 of 15 from the three-point line. 20 of 31 from the free throw line. Monmouth 6 of 18. Monmouth very easily could have won the game. And I will stand by my notion that it's going to be hard to get folks back in the stands without some signature victories.
K-State plays here, right? Or is that game on a neutral site?
That is here.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Now, they've
so.
Got a chance Friday night in Kansas City against the good St. Louis team. That will be a very interesting test for the Shockers at this time of the year. Very interesting. That's a St. Louis is nobody to mess with.
They're good.
They got that coach from Indiana State, Josh Schertz. They've got their best player. Is Robbie Avila back yet?
He was hurt.
Yeah, you didn't know that when you were talking about him the other day. I don't know if he's back yet or not.
I can't tell you.
They've got other good players. And I'm looking forward to that game. That's going to be
two or three or four guys out of Indiana State who their coach brought over. They did just lose to Santa Clara.
Santa Clara's good.
That game was on November 4th.
And they didn't have Robbie Avila.
He did play in that game.
That's the game he got hurt in. He didn't play a lot.
He played 29 minutes.
That's not a lot.
Okay.
So St. Louis coming up Friday. Ooh, 9:30 tip.
He has not returned.
They got the late game. That's too bad, isn't it?
I guess, but it is a Friday, so Stay up. Take a nap. Do what you got to do.
I don't think I can stay up.
Really?
They lost to Santa Clara in their opener, beat Avila, beat Loyola Marymount. Will have had a 6-day... What?
You said beat Avila.
Yeah, beat Avila. This will only be their second game in 13 days when they play Wichita State. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
There is a school called Avila.
Right.
And Avila did not play in that game. How have they only played 3 games? That's crazy. I guess the Shockers have only played 4, but still.
Well, they haven't played very many games. That's my point.
They play once a week, basically.
They'll get it going.
Sure they will.
Who's in that tournament besides Minnesota?
Wake Forest.
So they could play our good friend Steve Forbes.
Good.
Who's in the other bracket there?
There's only 4
teams. Forbes playing?
Or is there 3 teams?
No, it's 4. Come on. When's the last 3-team tournament you had?
It's like a round robin situation.
When's the last one of those you can point to?
I don't know, but wasn't there something weird with this tournament? Like they were going to play the bad teams, and then they ended up like playing the good teams.
Who's on the other side of the bracket?
I'm trying to find it.
That's all I'm asking.
It's not like a big bracket. ESPN Events Invitational. How many are there? It's Florida and Wake Forest.
Florida, Wake Forest. Minnesota and Wichita State.
Yes.
Well, I hope to see them play Wake Forest. Steve Forbes has done a good job at Wake Forest. He hasn't elevated them to big time level yet.
He's been knocking on the door of NCAA.
Yeah, but we got to get in that door.
Is the ACC more difficult now that they've added Stanford, Cal, and SMU?
Not really.
About the same. SMU's good.
SMU's okay.
They'll be better in the ACC.
They're okay. They're not good.
They're going to be better in the ACC.
No, I don't know.
They will.
I don't know.
Trust me.
Not that good.
But they'll
Wichita
be better.
Wichita State beat them like a drum last year, didn't they?
Wouldn't you expect if Wichita State went to the ACC that they'd improve?
Well, they can't go to the ACC. They don't have football.
I'm just saying. I'm using it as an example. When you make a leap in stature
The ACC wouldn't want them because they don't have...
I know, I'm just saying. We're talking hypotheticals.
I don't do hypotheticals when they don't make any sense at all.
Whatever. If they went to the Big East,
SMU has football.
If they went to the Big
East, wouldn't want them because they're not at that level yet.
Take a hypothetical.
I don't do hypotheticals.
They should go to the A-10, as I've been saying. Wichita State.
The A-10... Do you know, I don't think that's really a viable alternative. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Why not? What is a viable alternative then?
It's Big East, American, or bust.
Big East doesn't want them. They're not good enough. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. I don't see the Atlantic 10 as an alternative.
They've got Dayton. They've got VCU.
Yeah, they got nobody in the time zone in which Wichita State plays.
Loyola.
Except St. Louis and Loyola.
Okay, well, there you go.
That's
a much better conference. Man, I'd be excited if they were playing.
You'd be excited about Loyola?
Davidson, Dayton, Loyola, yeah, a little bit. VCU.
LaSalle's doing it for you.
Hey, LaSalle, didn't they?
Can you imagine the it's already difficult, the road trips in the American. Can you imagine the volleyball team or the softball team or who's baseball going to play in this conference?
I don't know.
Well, give me an example. St. Louis has a program. Baseball would be the biggest snoozer in the world.
Okay, well, unfortunately, I don't think a lot of schools are making decisions based on baseball as
well,
much
I'm not
as
saying they are,
Wichita
but
State values
okay,
it.
Baseball, you're getting on a plane to go to Richmond.
Dayton, VCU, St. Joe's, UMass, George Washington, Dayton, St. Louis, St. Joe's, Richmond. They've got plenty of baseball teams.
And how many of those excite you?
I don't know. I don't have enough knowledge about those programs.
You don't think George Washington has a quality baseball program?
Well, I don't follow George Washington baseball, but that's not a conference known for baseball.
Let's see how their standings went last year in baseball. I like the Atlantic 10. St. Louis was 37-16, VCU 38-22, Dayton was 33-22, and George Washington did have 31 wins. Those are the only 30-win ball clubs.
How many went to the tournament? Only one.
Probably one, I would assume.
Only one.
Probably.
I don't know. It's a strange time to be Wichita State.
How many in the American went to the baseball tournament? One.
How does Wichita State pay for everything?
Well, that's a question we'll have to ask Kevin Saul.
How do they do it in this era of an NIL and drawing 5,000 or 6,000 in your marquee event, your men's basketball program? Where's the revenue stream coming from?
Fair question. I don't know. I don't have access.
Where's the buzz about Shocker basketball? I've watched all four games. My wife is a devout Shocker fan. I last night I said, Debbie, can we watch Home Cooking?
Home Cooking.
And she wouldn't go for it. And then I was glad I watched. I didn't expect that to be a close game.
It was a close game. It was not a good game.
It was not a well played game. I didn't expect to be a close game.
No, nobody did.
So in that way, I'm glad I watched. But I'm here to watch. If I want to be with my wife during a Shocker basketball game, I got to watch them.
The problem, I think, and this may be completely off the wall, but I think people who used to go to Shocker games are not going to go anymore. I think you have to pull new people in. I think the people who stopped going, I don't know if you can get them back. I think you got to target somebody else.
But you got to have that hook. So is there a player on this team that people are thinking, I got to go see this guy? There is not yet that I've seen. They have some good players. They have some good players. I think they're going to have a decent season.
But nobody knows the players. And by the time you figure out, hey, I want to go see Justin Hill play, it's March. And you missed it.
They got all these seniors who next year won't be there. You don't know who they're going to put on the floor next year. I mean, my goodness, who are they going to play next year?
You have no idea.
Recruits coming in and some. I get it.
Back to the portal.
I think Paul Mills is a good coach. This is not an indictment on what they're doing or Paul Mills, but it's not connecting. And I think the only way to connect, can you connect in the American? Who's coming up? K-State, they'll have a full house.
You sure?
Yeah, I am sure.
Of K-State people or
not,
what?
Not all K-State people. That's a hook. People love it when you play your in-state rival. That's
if they don't draw 8,000-9,000 to that one, then.
Well, I expect that to be a full house.
So you think 10,502 or whatever the number is?
I do think that. Yes.
Okay. I'm not going to necessarily disagree with you. I'm just a believe it when I see it type of person.
But who in the American is a team that, outside of Memphis?
There isn't one.
That you got to go see. It used to be Houston, Cincinnati, UConn. My God. When they joined this conference, it was like, oh, my, let's go.
It was pretty awesome.
I don't think they would have left the Valley for this conference.
No, that would have been a because now you've locked yourself in. At least if you stay in the Valley, you keep some options open. But now they're firmly in the American.
Well, listen, the Valley, now they're losing Missouri State. They've lost Loyola. They did pick up Belmont. They did pick up Murray State.
Valparaiso.
Those aren't the kind of schools you want to be associated.
Murray State and Belmont are pretty good.
Yeah, but those
Valley.
Aren't the guys. You don't go to your family reunion and say, hey, we're in a conference now with Belmont.
Belmont was a tournament team. Murray State.
No, would you go to a family reunion?
Yeah, I would.
And brag about being in a conference with Belmont?
Sure.
You would.
Get to go to Nashville. That's good stuff.
You know what your family would do?
Leave.
Walk out on you.
Pretty much the same
thing. I'd hit you with a drumstick.
There's
no great option right now.
There isn't, but the Atlantic 10, I will contend, is still the best option.
Bounce that off Kevin Saul.
I don't think I should. That's what if, like, he's not going to say anything about that, right?
No, I don't think there, so. He's a loyal American Athletic Conference guy.
We're just spitballing here.
We'll have Kevin Saul at 2:45. Coming up next, John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. I always like talking to John. He's kind of that version of Tim Fitzgerald. And we'll get his thoughts on a suddenly red-hot KU team with another chance to beat a ranked team coming up Saturday at Arrowhead Stadium against Colorado. At 3:05 today, Dylan Schmidt, the head football coach at Andale. And then a game coming up later in hour number two. So a packed show today. We look forward to it. Glad you're with us. Back in a minute with John Kirby, Jayhawk Slant.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. Of course, they slant toward KU. How you doing, John?
Good, Bob. How you doing?
Doing well, and not as well as Kansas. They have turned this season around. They've won a couple in a row against two ranked teams, Iowa State, BYU. They have another ranked team. This will be the fourth straight game against a ranked team, Colorado visiting Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday. What's been the biggest factor in KU finally playing like we thought KU would play?
Well, I mean, Bob, listen, the first, four games, there's 10 turnovers, okay? I mean, I can't remember how many interceptions Jalen Daniels has thrown. And going into the BYU game, in those next five games, they turned it over three times. So it was just a lot of unforced errors and just mistakes that were very – We didn't think this would happen with a team with 30 seniors back and an experienced quarterback. And, you know, there were some plays at the end of games that the defense didn't get a stop when they needed it. But, I mean, in five of those six losses, KU had the ball in their hands to either win or tie the game. Think about that. I'd love to know if there's a statistic out there that can ever backtrack and find that out when a team lost and had the ball in five of the six losses. And this is what this comes down to, Bob, and I told everybody this. During their losing streak, I said they're a good football team. They were – I mean, when you go back and look at the Arizona State game, who's a solid team? KU pushed Arizona State around, okay? Hey, KU let that game in Manhattan slip away. KU probably should have won that football game. They had West Virginia down 11 points with 4.5 minutes to go. You can look back over time and go – And make an argument when you go back and watch film and go, I think Kansas was as good or the better team, but they're losing.
So, yeah, the luck has obviously turned around at KU. They're making their own luck. I wouldn't say the punt the other night against BYU was lucky, but they were certainly fortunate to recover that. And I've read all the quotes about it and seen, you know, how it kind of evolved over the course of the year. But for our listeners, what is kind of the evolution of that, the quarterback punt, and what was kind of the idea behind it? And what were people saying after it kind of worked in a way?
Well, hey, listen, I got to say that they did have some luck, right? I mean, for the first time all year, I kind of went, wow, the ball actually did bounce their way. I mean, it was fortunate that it bounces off the head of a BYU player. Then a BYU player, another player, tries to field the punt, and then he can't corral it. And Quentin Skinner, a wide receiver playing special teams, falls on it at the two-yard line. And that ended up being the game-winning play. So it's fourth and short, okay? And they call timeout, and they decide. And from just little things that I'm picking up on, I think their thought was, let's go for it, okay? But during the timeout, they said, hold on, this has been a low-possession game. Teams have points aren't being put up like everybody thought they were. And Lance Leipold said, every Thursday at practice, they work on that pooch punt with Jalen Daniels. They work on it. They work on it every Thursday. And this was the day they finally decided, let's do it. Let's execute what we've been working on. And it came out and it worked in their favor.
Talking with John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant, KU. Now on a roll, they have Colorado coming in to Arrowhead Saturday afternoon. So, John, I took a philosophy class in college, one of the 300 or 400 classes I took to get out of college. And one of the things I think about with this KU team is they might win the next two. They might go to a bowl game and win that and finish 7-6. But how will the season be remembered by the KU faithful if that happens?
Well, I think that they would look at it two ways. Number one, I think they'd look at it like, you know, listen, what a great job to keep these kids engaged. Because, Bob, listen, at some point in sports, when you keep losing all these games on the final play, the final drive, at the end of the game, it's human nature to start hanging your head, okay? And this team could have done that. So, I mean, there's some credit to the coaches and also to the 30 seniors on the team as well, but they stuck together, and they always went out and they played hard. They played with max effort. They never gave up. Okay, so I mean, if that happens, the scenario that you just put out, if that happens, I think KU fans are going to say, "Hey, what a great way to end the season." But there's also going to be this other line of thought that KU before the season started was ESPN's highest percentage team to be in the college football playoff. Okay. So if KU ends up continuing to play like they are and winning games, I think there's also going to be a lot of what if, you know, why did this team take this long to kind of get warmed up and play like they were supposed to play? But I'll tell you this right now, and I said this earlier this week, KU is the team in the Big 12 right now that nobody wants to play. I just got off the phone with the Colorado analyst for our podcast that we do. And he just said, hey, the people here at Colorado, they know this is a scary game. The people at BYU knew KU was a scary game. Iowa State brings down the number one statistic defense to Arrowhead. KU puts up 45 points and 520 yards. KU right now, there's an argument to say Colorado and KU this weekend, those are the two teams playing the best football in the Big 12 right now.
Yeah, you talked about points being at a premium in the BYU game. Is there a scenario that you see where KU-Colorado is low scoring? And if not, how does the defense account for all the weapons that Colorado has, and can, on the other side, the offense keep up with that?
Well, that's going to be the million-dollar question. Now, listen, I predicted in my write-up before the BYU game, I had KU winning 31-28. I went with the mild upset, but I thought it was going to take 30 points to win that game. I mean, you could have never told me that that game was going to be sitting there in the teens. I don't see any way this Colorado game is like that. Well, let's put it this way. I mean, KU probably hopes it is, because that would favor KU. I think the higher the score goes, it might slightly favor Colorado. Now, here's the one thing KU's got. I mean, Colorado's got some weapons. But KU does have Kobe Bryant, Melo Dotson, probably, maybe. I mean, that's probably the best corner tandem in the Big 12 right there. So they've got guys who can cover, And the secondary has started to play better football. I mean, they made some nice plays, and their safeties were probably the most active last week that they've been all year. But they're going to have to find a way to pressure Sanders. I mean, you watch him. I mean, he moves around well. He's got such a great feel. He's got guys to throw the ball to. And I just don't know that you can let him sit back there and have time. But then when you watch him against Kansas State, they just brought all-out blitzes against him all the time, and he still threw for 390 yards. So I mean, I think you've got to figure out a way to kind of pick your poison, when to change, you know, when to bring pressure, when not. Because I think if you just do it all the time, you know, you get 400 yards on you.
Good stuff. We're talking with John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. I've been a big Devin Neal fan for a long time. I think he's going to be a fantastic player at the next level. He's a tremendous college running back. The guy that's really grown on me is Luke Grimm. And I want to get your thoughts on what his ceiling is, because he has been so steady as a KU player in his entire career. And he's really, really shining right now. I really like him. What do you think Luke Grimm's going to do at the next level?
You know, Bob, I really don't know. Listen, I was at the camp when they decided that the KU coaches, when he was a high school senior, they were trying to decide at the camp. They said, do we offer him or not? And I remember there was debate, because he even worked out as a defensive back at camp. And I remember seriously just standing by those Kansas coaches, and they were just contemplating, can this kid play here? Can he play at this level? Well, I think he's answered that question. So I think some of that goes to the NFL. As you look at the next level, the whole thing's going to be, can he play there, right? People are going to say, does he have the speed to separate? People are going to say, is he doing well right now at KU because he's in a really good offensive system that's diverse and it gets receivers open? And when you play Kansas, you've also got to be ready for Devin Neal. You've got to be ready for Jalen Daniels in the run game, the option. And some people might say Luke Grimm's a product of the system, but all that kid does is make plays. I mean, every time it's third and eight and Kansas converts, it's Luke Grimm making the play. So I'm one of those guys. I'm sure people are going to question top-end speed and can he get open, but he's done it for 4 years.
He just has that feel about him that you take a flyer on him. He's not going to be a first-round pick, but the team that decides to take that flyer, I just have a feeling they're going to be glad they did. So what's your prediction on
I got one question.
What's your prediction on Saturday's game? And then Jeff will ask you a question.
Okay.
Yeah, I like KU here. And again, I think right now that there's going to be an argument to be made that I'm not so sure Kansas isn't the best team in the Big 12 right now. We'll get that answer on Saturday. Okay, if they beat Colorado, then I think they could probably lay claim to that, because you have beaten Iowa State, BYU, and Colorado three consecutive weeks, beat BYU on the road, beat Iowa State up. I mean, they made Iowa State's defense look like they didn't have any idea what they were doing on the field. I just think right now, somebody told me they were out in Provo and they saw the team after the game. They were getting on the bus and they said, you could just see the confidence, and these kids realize they've got some of that swagger back. And I think it's going to be an entertaining game. It's going to be a fun game. I think there's going to be a good crowd. Everybody wants to see Colorado play. I think KU's going to find a way to win a close game in this one.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about the future of Jalen Daniels. You think he's a change of scenery candidate after 5 years in the program? Is that a possibility? And if not, what does a Jalen Daniels-led KU football team look like next year with all these seniors leaving?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's something that's been talked about the fan base. And, guys, we're in the age of the portal, okay? And Jalen Daniels has also had several years in college, so he may be – I'm sure he's talking to NFL draft people saying, where am I at? Where do you see me? And if people are saying, hey, you're on draft boards, we don't know where you're going to go, but we think you're going to go somewhere, I could absolutely see that being an option. I'll tell you what else could be an option, too. He's starting to play – and starting to look like everybody thought he would going into the season. And I sit here and I watch teams like Michigan and USC and Florida State, and I see some of these guys, and I'm going, boy, Jalen Daniels, I could see some of those coaches going, hey, let's find a way to put an NIL package together for that. That's just the age that we're in right now. So I don't know what the future holds, because I think the NFL is still a possibility. And I do think in this day and age where everybody has an agent now, the college kids all have agents and they come after you. Yeah, I wouldn't bet on anything right now.
John, we always appreciate your insight. Good to talk with you. Big game, another one for KU coming up Saturday against Colorado. We'll catch you down the road. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. All right, we got one team in the state going in the right direction and the other team going in the wrong one, and we would have never predicted that 3 weeks ago.
They're kind of going to meet in the middle, it seems like.
Strange year. Strange year in the Big 12. One of the strangest years in the history of that conference. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Here's Kevin Saul from Wichita State Athletics. Someday to be a Hall of Famer, I'm sure. Kevin, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well. The Shockers off to a 4-0 start in men's basketball. Last night was a little dicey. I don't think we quite expected that game to be dicey. What did you see? What kind of growth can a team get from surviving and winning a game that we kind of all thought they'd win a little more handily?
Yeah, I think I'm still my heart rate's still coming down after last night, guys, but it was a grinder of a game. Monmouth came in at 0-4. I think they're 258 in KenPom. Clearly they played well and gave us all we could handle for about 38 minutes, and I think there's a couple things at play last night. Battled just a couple of injuries. Obviously, I think a game like last night speaks to the importance of having a couple of big men, particularly Quincy and what he means to this team in terms of the inside-out game and rebounding and wiping away shots and all those things certainly is an important part of that. But the other element to it, guys, is I was really proud of this team last night driving home, because – in the first half, we were 11 of 21 from the free throw line. And as you guys know, that stuff is contagious. It's really hard to get yourself out of a slump. And they responded in the second half, hitting 9 of 10. We were out-rebounded. I think we were minus 10 at half, and then we out-rebounded them in the second half. And so I think our staff and our players at halftime, being in the locker room, were composed, were poised, talked about what needed to happen and went out and made it happen. You have to give some credit to Monmouth, but at the end of the day, I think you could see that we weren't firing on all cylinders last night. And so to be able to win a game when you're not firing on all cylinders, certainly you'd like to think would pay some dividends down the road when you're faced with, man, our shots are just not falling. I think we had 8 uncontested shots that just didn't fall in the first 10 minutes of the game. So you're going to have nights like that, but they found a way to win, and certainly we're appreciative and thankful.
So I'll jump right in. We were talking in the first segment about the Atlantic 10, and I'm not going to ask you about that because you're in a conference already. But I just wanted to know, outside of the partnership itself with a conference, what are some factors that you feel good about when you're in a conference, or that you look for specifically? How much, financial viability and the competition aspect? What are some of those factors?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, at least with two of the significant ones, Jeff. You want to be in a position competitively where you're not just winning a bunch of championships, but that your programs are actually growing in that environment. And I applaud Wichita State for venturing out of the Missouri Valley Conference and into a much more expensive and much more competitive league in the American, because the way I look at it is you just created a runway for your programs to develop and grow over X number of years that may not have existed in a different environment. You hear coaches talk about it all the time with young people. If you're the best player on your AAU team, you're probably on the wrong team. in terms of personal growth and development. So that's the concept that I think is really important in a league is the struggles and the discomfort allow you to grow and become better as a program. So I think that piece is important. Obviously, the financial component's really important, particularly in today's day and age with retroactive NIL, the house settlement, the roster maximums and the revenue share pieces that we're going to be looking at. Guys, for us, that's a number that's close to $7 million in new dollars for us. So we're currently a $27 million budget as we evaluate the house settlement to position our program in a spot to be competitive. We're going to need to be about another plus seven. And so we've got to do some really good things in terms of generating new revenue streams, being good stewards with the dollars that we already have. And the conference is certainly a part of that. I think conference leadership is really important, how they put on championships, the experience for the student athletes in the championship environment that the league provides is really important. Leadership at the top from a commissioner level. So there's a lot of ways to evaluate that. And I would tell you that the Commissioner Pernetti has been really innovative and forward-thinking in terms of trying to compel our league forward from a revenue and visibility standpoint. I'm excited about what's to come.
Kevin Saul with us, Wichita State Athletic Director. You address some of the finance and revenue stuff that I'm curious about. And with men's basketball, the crowds have not been great so far. I'm sure they haven't been what you would like them to eventually be. Do you feel in some ways, Kevin, with everything that's happened in the past 5 or 6 years with Shocker basketball, that in some ways you're rebuilding a fan base?
I think that's very much the case, Bob. I think it's a really good point. I appreciate you bringing that up. We've consistently this year had somewhere in the range of 5,800 to 6,500 tickets out. Getting that many to show is a whole nother conversation. So we have a lot of folks. Last year, I think we were 96% sold on the lower bowl. So the support has been there and it continues to be there. We've got to produce a product and a game day experience that our people want to be a part of. I think in some cases, Bob, we are our own worst enemy in terms of how easy it is to consume games on streaming on your phone or at home or whatever the case may be. And so we've got to create an environment people want to be a part of. I think this is a quality team. I think it's a good product, if you will. I think it's an exciting brand of basketball. Guys, we ran across a stat yesterday that I think you might be intrigued because we've talked a lot about recruiting and retention and the transfer portal and how important spending NIL dollars on retention is really important for a lot of reasons. But we ran across this yesterday that, several schools across the country, based on the COVID conditions, have multiple student athletes on their roster that are playing fifth, sixth, and even seventh seasons. Wichita State is tied for second in the country with seven student athletes in their fifth year or higher of college basketball. So I think age, experience certainly matters. Those are things that you can work on through retention, but also through the portal. But I think that retention is important for our fan base too, because they want that connection with our players. There's certainly been some environmental factors here at Wichita State that is making us have to rethink building a fan base. But there are so many loyal fans that continue to be with us, and we're incredibly appreciative, and we're pushing every day to get 10,500 in that place, and there's a lot of components to that.
Yeah, how do you capture that? You talked about the game experience, and I went to a game last weekend, the game against Montana State, and there's, like you said, there's the loyal fans, maybe a little bit older crowd. There are people that seem to go with their friends, maybe fans who have been in it for the long haul. But I didn't see a ton of families. And is that something you're focused on? And it's one game. I don't know if that's a pattern or not. So I may be off base. But how do you go about capturing those families?
Well, I appreciate you asking that. There's a lot of things that I think go into capturing families. So we've done some value pricing in terms of concessions, thinking about the families of four or five. We actually changed our tip time, guys. I don't know if you noticed last season and this season. We've changed our tip times from 7 and 7:30s to 6s and 6:30s because we feel like that's important, particularly on school nights, to try and get families there. It's way different if you're getting home at 10 o'clock as opposed to potentially getting home at 8:30, 9 o'clock. And so focused on those things. I think we've got some nice traditions going halftime and postgame where kids are coming down to the tunnel and giving players high fives. Our kids club has actually grown exponentially here in the last 2 years. So we're focused a lot on kids and families. We're focused a lot on young professionals. We introduced a new season ticket package in the upper deck. That's the one of the cheapest season tickets we've offered in the last 10 to 15 years. And so we're trying to reset and hold firm our pricing. We haven't increased season tickets or say-so donations in the last 3 years because I think we had actually outpaced ourselves a little bit in the middle 2010s. So we're trying to do a lot of things to make it affordable, to make it enjoyable. We're hosting fan listening sessions, trying to do as much as we can to make it a great environment for as many folks as we can, because this is a really special place, as you guys know, when there's 9,000 to 10,000 folks in there consistently.
Final moments here with Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. I wanted to ask you about roster construction because you mentioned what a veteran team this men's basketball team is. Lots and lots of seniors. This is not the way rosters used to be constructed. And I think there was a general feeling all over the country that you wanted a real amount of balance in your roster. Is the transfer portal and the NIL and everything else that's come into college basketball, has it changed that philosophy to this degree, Kevin?
Well, Bob, I think there's more parity in sports because of the transfer portal, because the Oaklands are beating the Kentuckys in the NCAA tournament with age and experience. And certainly you can't paint the entire intercollegiate athletics industry with that broad brush. And yes, rosters used to be constructed with balanced freshmen, sophomore, junior, seniors, balanced high school recruits. And I think what you're seeing nowadays is age, experience, retention, maybe are trumping the young people that are coming into your program because it is a competitive landscape and coaches want to compete and fan bases want to be competitive right now. And building a team with predominantly young, high school, inexperienced folks is a building process, as we all know. But the transfer portal is a tool where the building process, as we know it historically and traditionally, is very much changed. And so we're excited that we're an older group. We're excited that we only had three go through the portal when the average team in our league had eight transfers out through the portal. Paul and I are firmly aligned in the fact that retention is the name of the game, because I think that resonates with our fan base as well providing you age and experienced players that can be successful. So we're going to continue to focus in that direction. And I think the sad part of our current environment is the high school student athlete is really paying the price for that trend and that shift nationally.
Interesting stuff. I mean, it's just so interesting what's happening right now in college athletics. We appreciate your insight. Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bob and Jeff, thanks so much. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, and go Shockers.
Thank you.
Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. We'll be back shortly, and we'll talk some high school football with one of the very best, Dylan Schmidt, the head football coach at Andale. They are in the Class 3A semifinals. They'll play Holcomb coming up Friday night, an early kick, 6 o'clock on that one, so that Holcomb can get back to town, their town, and most likely licking their wounds.
It'll be a happy bus ride, I don't think.
Back in a minute.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.